If you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We've looked at this before, and in many other passages the Bible talks about these doctrines that will come around in the latter times and in the last days. And most of these passages, if you dig into them, Acts chapter 20 is another one of them. They're not warning us against cults and strange errant groups that have always been among us. They're warning us about our own selves, our own teachers, our own people. That's what they're warning us of, people that look and sound just like us. The fact that he uses descriptive words like seducing spirits, the idea that when we think of being seduced to do something, that means that what we're being seduced to do, someone is trying to allure us using our natural inclinations. You know, if you're on a diet and I've got a candy bar, I know that down inside you there's something you like to eat. And so that's the idea, is playing on your natural desires and drawing you into something. And he's warning God's people, and this is Paul warning Timothy and warning him in his ministry that he would face these things, and I think this is getting very prevalent, and I want to drill down a little bit as quickly as we can. Notice verse 3, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. Now if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul gives some instances where you ought not to marry, and he lays them out very plainly. And while he's laying that out, he says, in fact, really, you'll have a lot less trouble if you just plain don't get married at all. I mean, it's a true statement. He says, if you're not married at all, you can focus on serving the Lord and the Lord alone. But if you're married, you're going to have to consider the feelings of your spouse. That's just the truth. That's not... Now, he says, it is still right and good to marry. But he commands those that are widows and those that are single, he says, you will be happier if you stay as the way I am. So this doctrine here, forbidding to marry, may sound to some degree scriptural. And these doctrines and these seducing spirits have some scriptural elements mixed in with them. If we look back at the garden, when Satan was seducing Eve, he used the words of God to seduce her. He said, hath God said this? Didn't he say this? Isn't this what's going to happen? And he began to take scripture and blend it in. And I mentioned that this is getting more and more common. And I'm going to try to boil this down as best I can. But we live in a time, and if I think about what are our natural tendencies as Baptists? Well, some of our natural desires, our natural inclinations are to be conservative, to be family people, to be moderate people, there's a lot of things that we just plain like. Those are some of our natural inclinations, and there is an element. There are people that will come around in the last days that will play upon those natural desires that we have. And I see a lot of this as I, you know, if you spend any time on the internet or, you know, sometimes I'll come across a church website that seems fantastic. You know, we're on vacation or something like that. And I start doing some research. I'm like, this sounds fantastic. I mean, this guy seems so conservative. I mean, he's right on just where we want to be as Baptists, right? In fact, he's even maybe taken a harder line than I've ever heard anybody take before. And we kind of get excited about that. We want to be stirred. We want to be told. We want to be... That's our natural inclination, right? But it doesn't take very long of doing some research, and you begin to find some odd errancies in some folks. Some of them are claiming to be Baptists. I ran across another one just the other day. His website says, we believe in only the local church. There's no such thing as a universal church. And I'm like, well, this guy's laying it out there. This guy seems, you know, I'd like to meet this guy. And, but you know, not long, and I start finding some really odd things about him. And, you know, it's interesting. Paul mentions forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. You know, these are some commonalities that a lot of these have. If we can just make a generalization, there are some people that seem very spiritual, but they have some extreme views on the family. This is getting very common. This is getting very prevalent among church members, among preachers. There are people out there that seem very spiritual, but they have some extreme views on the family. We met several groups up in Cadillac and seemed like some great, wholesome, conservative, separated people. The more I learned about them, they believed that if you didn't have at least 12 kids, you were out of the will of God. You better have at least 12 or you're out of the will of God. Extreme views. Now they take some scriptures and they have some bases, and I have my own feelings about the family, but I believe that's between you and your spouse and the Lord, and those are things that God will convict you about and instruct you about. But they have some extreme views on family. Many of them have extreme views on diet. Some extreme views. I got thinking about this the other day as the news broke that omega-3 fatty acids increase prostate cancer by 70% in males. And we've been told to cram this stuff down. You can never have too much of it. Just drink it down. Take it in pills. Take it in fish. Take it in any way you can get it. And then we find out. We also found out that salt's not as harmful as we thought it was. In fact, a lot of people probably aren't getting enough. You know, these are things that go on. And my point is we have tendencies in which we are prone to believe some of these things. And we have to watch. A lot of preachers that I've encountered have some extreme views on Genesis chapter 6. It seems to be in common with every radical any preacher I've ever put in the category of radical. I joke with our pastor because I call it the Genesis 6 test. I say, what do you think about Genesis 6? And they'll give me some radical answer. Well, I think that humans were having relations with angels and they had giants. Like, okay, I just threw you in that category in my brain. But there's some kind of a you know, we as believers, we want to be awakened to things we don't know, and that's a good thing. But sometimes it sends people on a quest to come up with new things. It's dangerous. And it is a part of the last days. There are a lot of extreme things, extreme conflicts with the government. Now, I'm a little revolutionary, I'm patriotic, but I need to fall within the bounds of Romans 13 that tells me to obey the laws of the land and leave the rest in the hands of the Lord. But they're falling along some extreme lines. the more I visit churches, the more I talk with church people, and I'm not talking about other churches, I'm talking about our churches. The more I talk with church people and fellowship, there are some extreme views out there that are coming into our churches. And they're easy to believe because they sound like things that we would want to believe as conservatives. They sound like things that we as believers that God made this planet and believers that we should live holy lives. I mean, odd views about family units and odd views about the women's place, and they're seducing spirits. Now, I'm not saying all these people are bad. Some of them may have just been seduced, and maybe they'll come out of it. But we need to beware. Let's notice some of these things here that just want to notice a few other verses in this passage. Notice verse number 7. He says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." The idea of a wives' fable. How do we define that? Well, I go back to that whole salt and omega thing. It's anything that we believe without firsthand knowledge. Now, because we have Google, we think we have firsthand knowledge. We've all gone to the school of Google and we think we're brilliant. You know, oh, well, I know that this and this and this and this. Or we have Wikipedia and we think that we know stuff about stuff. You know, and not that there's not good stuff on there. I make my point here. Take something that you know you are the expert about. You know that you really know this. Whatever your field is, whatever your specialty is as a human being on this planet. And I challenge you to go and Google that thing and then compare what the internet says with what you know. With what you really, really know. And you'll find there's good information and there's bad information. I mean, it could be from car repair to canning vegetables. Take something that you really know, that you know what works and you know about it. If you Google it, you'll get some stuff that's all over the place. There's good. There's bad. And so when it comes to science and different things, we just take, well, I guess we'll just listen to what they, you know, they're an expert, I guess. The experts say this. I Googled it. That's what the experts say. And so, well, it's not hard to manufacture things on Google, let me tell you. It's not hard to make things up. So a fable, we could define a fable as something that you don't have first-hand knowledge of. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things we take by faith and swallow down as a pill from this world. You know, and we don't know. I go back to the example of the omega-3 fatty acid thing. Did we know that it lowers cholesterol? Yes, we figured it out. You may have taken it yourself and it may have lowered your cholesterol and you were great. But we're just plain not smart enough to know everything else that it is doing to us. And that's the way everything is. We don't know. We're not that smart. Nobody is. There's nobody who is that smart. We still don't know if the 70% that got cancer just got it because they all lived in the general vicinity of where they did the testing. You know, we don't know. There's so many variables. You know, when I learned about science in school, to conduct a scientific experiment, you had to eliminate everything except one variable. You cannot do that with the human body. You don't even know what the variables are. You can't do it. And so, you know, I'm just using the health as an example. But a fable is something we just accept without firsthand information. Well, spiritually speaking, we have firsthand information. We ought not to just be accepting something because somebody that seems very conservative on their website or in their life or the way they live or the way they preach have said. The Bible says that the Bereans were more noble than everybody else because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I've had people come to me and say, well, you can't do that because the Bible says blah, blah, blah. And I said to them, the Bible doesn't say blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, yes, it does. And they quoted it again to me. And I said, no, it's not in the Bible. How do you know? I said, because I have very sophisticated software and I can search for all of those words. They're not there. Anywhere. Well, maybe it says it like this. I'm like, well, let's search for that. I got my computer out. No, that's not there either. Well, maybe it says it like this. I'm like, okay, we'll search for that. No. I said, you know where you found that? Huh? Where was that? I pulled out my hymn book and I thumbed to a hymn. I said, you probably sung that all your life, haven't you? Yeah. That was what you quoted me. That's not in the Bible. Whoa. They still couldn't pull away from it. They still could not pull away from it because they believed it so long. They cannot pull away from that. It's a dangerous thing. And it's been going on for a long time, but in the last days it will get more and more. Notice there we read verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. But there's an alternative. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know what? You almost exchange one for one. When you're seduced by something that is not really a scripture and not really true, you actually make an exchange because your focus shifts to something that's not really biblical, though it sounds biblical. You exchange that for real godliness. And anybody that you meet who's seems to be way off the rocker on one of these issues. I mean, they live such a hard life of rules, and they do this, and they do this, and they seem like the most noble person you've ever met. Sometimes you'll find out, after a while, they're the most ungodly person you've ever met. I've come across that so many times. They seem so spiritual. I mean, they have their do's and don'ts, and they're so good at them. I mean, they do things that I go, wow, I couldn't do that. You know? And then I find out there's nothing really there. They're able to do amazing feats of self-denial. You know, they're amazing people. They run 20 miles every morning. They've memorized 95 passages of Scripture. They have 23 children that all play instruments. They, you know, and I'm like, wow. These are some interesting people. They must drink 5-hour energy all day and all night. Who are these people? But then you find out there's a complete lack of real godliness. When you focus on all of that, you make a trade. Notice verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Instead of getting focused on, we should really do this, and we shouldn't do that. And if you focus on godliness, you just, as a blanket, I'm going to set the goal at God, and I want to be like Him. And I'm going to measure my life by that. And when you begin to measure things that are in your life by godliness, well, that's altogether different. It is altogether different. And my fear is this is getting closer to home all the time. I meet more and more people that sometimes when I first meet them, I'm real fired up about them. I'm like, this guy, he's top notch. And then I get my heart broke spiritually. I find out otherwise. Find out, yeah, they have some extreme views about their family, and then I find out they beat their wife. You know? This is common. I find out, you know, they run 20 miles and they only eat vegetables, but on the weekends they drink and smoke cigars. I'm like, what? You know, there is no real, because they have not measured themselves by God and the Bible, there's no consistency, they've made a trade. They've begun to follow their rules, not really God's rules. They sound godly because they use verses like 1 Corinthians chapter 7 as a basis for their marriage argument. They sound biblical in refraining from meat because they use passages about meat offered to idols. And these things sound good. And we have to remember the fact that they are seducing spirits. There's probably some of them that we have all been seduced into and gotten out of focus in one area of our life and haven't realized it. Hopefully we have strong enough relationships around us that one of our buddies can say, why are you doing that, Mark? That's not really scriptural godliness. You know, that's just something that makes you feel better than everybody else. Uplifts yourself, but it's not really godliness. Well, we're out of time. We'll stop there, but be aware. These things are getting very common. And I tell you what, you can just about see one of these people. Once you've learned how to identify them, you can see them a block away. They all fit into the same mold. You know, maybe one of them teaches grace and one of them doesn't. One of them's local church and one of them's not. But they're going to have some other similarities that are very strong. And you need to exercise yourself to be able to pick up on them. I can pick up on them a mile away because I've had to do it for a long time. I've had to contend with it for a long time. But there's a bunch of them. Let's stop there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that convicts and guides us. Lord, I'm sure there's things in our hearts that we've been seduced to. We pray that you'd help us. Forgive us, Lord. We're not anybody better than anybody else. We just pray that you would direct us, guide us, show us truth that truly is our desire, not to exalt ourselves, but to just know your truth. Protect us and shield us. Shield our church, Lord, and our sister churches and those that we fellowship from these things and those that would creep in and those that would do damage. Protect us and our children and those that follow after us, we pray. Be with us the rest of this day. We pray for our pastor and his wife as they travel tomorrow. We ask these things in your name. Amen.